Welcome to Sunday School. Good to see you. Good to have you here. You can find a seat as we get to enjoy digging back in once again to the book of Ezekiel. What a privilege. I hope you guys are having as much fun as I'm having working through Ezekiel. It's not a book that often gets a lot of airtime, but there's so much richness and depth to it. If you're willing to put in the time and the work. But it does take some time and some work, doesn't it? So I'm glad we're doing it together. as far as housekeeping, I don't think there's much before we get started here this morning. Remember, we're still kind of in this little section here where the Lord is responding to some sort of comforting lies that the people like to tell themselves. But the Lord says, yeah, it may be comforting, but it's not true. And if it's not true, it's not going to help you, right? So we're getting into that a little bit more today. We won't do all of chapter 20 because chapter 20 is really long, but we will get in most of chapter 20, and then we'll pick up the rest of it, Lord willing, next week together with chapter 21. That's where we're at this morning. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we'll read and get to it. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for the chance to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and to dig into your word. And we thank you for giving us your word. We thank you that it is true, that even though it is sometimes difficult to understand, you reveal to us in your word who you are and who we are and what you would have us to do as a result. Father, we thank you that you are good and you are gracious and you are just, and so you must take sin seriously. And yet, we thank you that because we cannot stand under the punishment that is justly due to us for our sin, you are also a merciful and a gracious God. Lord, help us to see that once again as we read your word here this morning. Be with us and give us insight that we might see you and know you better, and that would lead us to worship you all the more readily this morning and every day of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ezekiel 20, verses 1 through 44. We've got a longer passage this week, but let's go ahead and dig right in. In the seventh year, this is the seventh year of Ezekiel's exile, in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth day of the month, certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, thus says the Lord God, is it to inquire of me that you come? As I live, declares the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Let them know the abominations of their fathers and say to them, thus says the Lord God, on the day when I chose Israel, I swore to the offspring of the house of Jacob, making myself known to them in the land of Egypt. I swore to them, saying, I am the Lord your God. On that day I swore to them that I would bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had searched out for them, a land flowing with milk and honey, the most glorious of all lands. And I said to them, cast away the detestable things your eyes feast on, every one of you, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and were not willing to listen to me. None of them cast away the detestable things their eyes feasted on, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them and spend my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations among whom they lived, in whose sight I made myself known to them in bringing them out of the land of Egypt. So I led them out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. I gave them my statutes and made known to them my rules, by which if a person does them, he shall live. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, but rejected my rules, by which if a person does them, he shall live. And my Sabbaths they greatly profaned. And I said I would pour out my wrath upon them in the wilderness to make a full end of them. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations in whose sight I had brought them out. Moreover, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land that I had given them, a land flowing with milk and honey, the most glorious of all lands, because they rejected my rules and did not walk in my statutes and profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, my eye spared them, and I did not destroy them or make a full end of them in the wilderness. And I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor keep their rules, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules, and keep my Sabbaths holy, that they may be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. But the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to obey my rules, by which if a person does them, he shall live. And they profaned my Sabbaths. And I said I would pour out my wrath upon them and spend my anger against them in the wilderness. But I withheld my hand and acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, in whose sight I had brought them out. Moreover, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the nations and disperse them through the countries because they had not obeyed my rules, but had rejected my statutes and profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were set on their fathers' idols. Moreover, I gave them statutes that were not good and rules by which they could not have life, and I defiled them through their very gifts in their offering up all their firstborn that I might devastate them. I did it that they might know that I am the Lord. Therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel and say to them, thus says the Lord God, in this also your fathers blasphemed me by dealing treacherously with me. For when I had brought them into the land that I swore to give them, then wherever they saw any high hill or any leafy tree, there they offered their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There they sent up their pleasing aromas, and there they poured out their drink offerings. And I said to them, what is the high place to which you go? So its name is called Bama to this day. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, will you defile yourselves after the manner of your fathers and go whoring after their detestable things? When you present your gifts and offer up your children in fire, you defile yourselves with all your idols to this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, declares the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. What is in your mind shall never happen. The thought, let us be like the nations, like the tribes of the countries, and worship wood and stone. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, I will be king over you. I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you're scattered with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will enter into judgment with you face to face. As I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord God. I will make you pass under the rod. I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge out the rebels from among you and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out of the land where they sojourn, but they shall not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. As for you, O house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, go, Serve every one of you his idols, now and hereafter, if you will not listen to me. But my holy name you shall no more profane with your gifts and your idols. For on my holy mountain, the mountain height of Israel, declares the Lord God, there all the house of Israel, all of them, shall serve me in the land. There I will accept them, and there I will require your contributions and the choicest of your gifts with all your sacred offerings. As a pleasing aroma, I will accept you when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you've been scattered, and I will manifest my holiness among you in the sight of the nations, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, the country that I swore to give to your fathers. There you shall remember your ways and all your deeds with which you've defiled yourselves, and you shall loathe yourselves for all the evils that you've committed. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I deal with you for my name's sake, not according to your evil ways, nor according to your corrupt deeds, O house of Israel, declares the Lord God. Longer passage, but there's a bit of a flow to it, a bit of a pattern. We'll see as we break up into smaller groups, about four or so, give or take a little bit. Let's see if you can figure out or kind of take hold of the pattern. You know, what's the pattern of the text? What are some things that get repeated often? We'll see those coming up again as pattern. Let's see if we can figure out what is the lie that they're tempted to believe, and then what is God's answer to that lie. All right, let's split up for about 5-10 minutes, and I'll call us back here in a few minutes. All right, let's come back together. I like to think that the text here kind of has maybe, we'll say, two major parts, and those could probably be broken down into subsections too. But where would you think the big break between the first section and the second section is? That's good. I think those are subsection divisions. That's good. That's good. It's sort of replying to the main thing. 33, verse 33. Yeah. 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 Yeah, the first. Oh. around verse, well, I'm going to say 32, because 32 kind of sticks out and sort of doesn't fit and does fit in both sections. but one little hint you can kind of tell right at the very beginning, right, they come to inquire of him, and the Lord says, is it to inquire of me that you've come, right? As I live, I will not be inquired of by you. And he finishes that section in verse 31 by saying the same thing. Right? Sort of start and close and everything in between is one nice little section. Sort of wraps it up with a bow on either end. It helps us kind of see that section. What would you say that first section is all about? If you had to sum it up. There's a lot of things in there. Yeah, Aaron? Yeah, that's a great summary. The history of Israel since the Lord called them out of Egypt and his kindness to them despite their rebellion. Yeah, that's good. Let me start, let's back up a second. What's the occasion of this word from the Lord? Right in the beginning, it tells us what happened. Why is the Lord responding here, Richard?
The elders come and inquire, essentially.
Yes.
And then he says, "I'm not going to do it, but he proceeds to
Right. Right. Yes, they come to inquire, to ask something of the Lord. What do they ask? No, we don't know. Yeah, we don't know. The Lord kind of cuts them off before they ever actually get to ask their question. He says, wait a minute. You're coming to ask of me? Oh, this is rich. Right, that's sort of his response. The Lord, he's got a good sense of sarcasm. You get that a lot in the prophets. Why is he upset? Why does he think, you know, that this is an odd thing that they would come to inquire of him? They're his people, after all. No?
They have a history of not listening to him.
They do. Yeah, they have a history of not listening to him. What else?
Worshipping the idols.
Yeah.
Always turning to their idols instead of turning to him.
Yeah, that's right. And inquiring of other gods, of idols, rather than turning to the Lord. Yeah, Kat? Yeah. Yeah, that's a possibility too, that maybe their question was not trying to trust and understand what the Lord was doing, but to sort of ask, like, why are you doing it this way? You know, like, obviously you're wrong, God, and maybe you should see things more to doing it our way. That's possible, yeah. Janet?
They're coming to him as the religious leaders of Israel, conveniently, because they want to talk to their God in this little time. Even though they're doing all this other stuff the rest of the time.
Yeah.
We're still in his vision, so let's go talk to God.
Yeah. 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 He's almost like, oh, now you want to come to me, right? Who are you? You've been some other God's people all this time. Yeah, absolutely. So what is the lie then that the people are tempted to believe? You think, yeah?
In the sense that God owes them?
Yeah. Yeah, that God owes us. What about all our glorious history, right? We're God's people. We have this long history with you. You're never going to let us go, right? You're our God. You're always going to be there for us. Yeah. Yeah. Aaron?
Maybe that they can still make sacrifices and worship other gods and the God of Israel at the same
time. Yeah. Yeah. As long as we still worship this God, we can worship all these other gods too. You know, make sure all of our bases are covered just in case. Sure. Eric? Yeah, yeah, that's a great comparison, especially in light of how the Lord's been talking about the people's idolatry, right? Like in chapter 16. Oh, heartbreaking. Yeah, Kat, did you have something? Yeah, yeah, great. The Lord, viewing the Lord as a tool that you can just command whenever you want. Yeah, Janet? Yeah, trying to have their cake and eat it too. Richard?
I think you talked about how verse 32 is like that hinge, so I was kind of thinking that was maybe the lie. But I feel like the nations and the tribal countries are worshiping the symbols. It's like putting them in the verse.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we can be like all the other nations, right? We can have our own gods too. Yeah, that we make ourselves. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a lot of lies, isn't it? A lot of lies they're tempted to believe. What's the Lord's response to all of those? Yeah, Tori? Yeah. Yeah. So why not? Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, you wanna look back on your history, all this great history that you have with me, right? Well, let's look over that history. How has that gone so far, right? It's actually been a history of your rebellion against me, my dealing graciously with you, and you're responding with more forsaking, right? Here's the pattern. I come to you in grace, you spurn me, I'm about ready to destroy you, but I don't, not for your sake, but for my own, because I am gracious, right? And then you keep doing it again, over and over and over, and it's back and forth, and it never changes. So yeah, what right do you have to inquire of me? Good. Gary. What a great point. Yeah, that he's dealing with not just his own people. If he was just dealing with his own people, he probably would have just judged them and just been done with it. But he said, because I'm also concerned with the whole world, right? With all the nations, even those who aren't my people, but so that they will see what a merciful God I am, and that they might also come to know and to worship me. Yeah, great point. Yes, yes. Gail. Yeah. Yeah, he does. He keeps his promises and he sticks with them through it all, which is a great comfort. Yeah, Gary? Yes. Yep, he is keeping his part of the bargain. It's true, even if they're not. They're no. Okay, I thought I saw a hand over there. Good. So that's kind of the main point of that first section, right? We go through successive generations. There's the generation that comes out of Egypt, and he says, the same pattern. God initiates. He gives them good rules by which if they follow them, the people will live, right? What grace. He said, here you go. This is what you need to do to live. And the people respond. How do they respond? Yeah, we're not going to do that, right? Here's what you need to do to live. We're not going to do that. You know, what do you do with a people like that, right? What does a God do? Here's what you have to do to live. We're not going to do that. So he says, okay, then, threatens wrath. Here's what you deserve, yet for the sake of my name, I won't do that. We'll have some sort of limited judgment, right? We'll bring you into the wilderness. You won't get to enter the promised land right away. There's a sense in which you'll see there's consequences for sin, but I'm not going to make you experience the full consequence. And then the same thing. Now, make sure you don't do what the previous generation did. Make sure you do follow my rules, because if you do, you'll live. And they say, yeah, we're not going to do that. Right? Over and over and over. Was there anything else in this section that stuck out to you? Anything repeated? Yeah, Kat. Yeah, great connection. There's a lot of wrath that's discussed here and a lot of wrath that's deserved, but what the Lord ends up giving over and over and over again is grace. as he revealed himself to that Exodus generation, right? He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Yeah, Paul.
Can you help me understand verse 25?
Great question. Yes, that one sticks out a little bit, doesn't it? That one seems a little odd. This is by the time we're getting to the third generation here, and it seems like each one gets progressively a little bit worse and worse. Jonathan, did you have a comment on that?
That stuck out for us, too.
Yeah.
And it seems like God just gave them over to their own lusts, worshiping the idols.
Yeah.
And that's what came out of it. They were actually burning their children to the idols. And it says he gave them statutes that were not good or old, by which they could not have. Would that be he gave them over to what they wanted? He gave them over to the false gods and beliefs?
Yeah. Yep, that's it exactly. It sounds at first God saying, so I gave them statutes that were not good, rules by which they could not have life, and you go, ooh, you know, sounds like the opposite of God showing grace and but it's not like he gave them a new law, right? If we know the scripture, God never gave like a bad law then to his children, but he did give them over to their own desires, let them worship those gods that they thought would bring them life, and what were the consequences? They were disastrous, weren't they? Yeah, they ended up, as he goes on to say, right, they offered up their own children as burnt offerings and sacrifices. How terrible, how atrocious, right? The Lord never asked that of them, but the other gods did, those gods that they thought would save them and ended up making them enslaved to these horrible, horrible rules. Yeah. Yeah, Mel.
Yeah, in Ephesians 2, it says that we're dead in our sins and trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
And here he's emphasizing that the rules he gives us really allow us to live.
That's right.
And so, when I think about God's rules in my life, they're all about loving him and loving others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're tempted sometimes to view God's law as something hard and bad and weighty and brings death because we can never live up to it. And the reality is, the Lord said, you know, if you do these things, in fact, it brings life, right? The more you follow the ways that the Lord gives to us, the more life, the more abundant life you'll enjoy. And the reality is we don't live up to it. And so it does bring death to us. But the law, that's not the fault of the law itself. That's the fault of us, right? That's our fault. Yeah, Kate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. Absolutely. That's that same pattern we saw in the garden. Good. I see lots more hands, but I want to make sure we get to the second part because that's where we get the overload of grace, right? What's the main point of this second part? Yeah, Ethan?
It seems like this is sort of a theme.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the passage that phrase, they will know that I am the Lord.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, like you're saying, tremendous overflow of grace.
Yeah.
All for his name's sake, right? To be known as God and as specifically a merciful God among all the nations.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, isn't it? Aaron.
Going off of what Ethan just read,
Mm-hmm.
And then he repeats that, when I deal with you for the sake of my name, or when I deal with you for my name's sake, he's dealing with those who have loathed themselves for their evil deeds that they've committed. So if he withheld mercy for those who were acting in rebellion, how much more is he, no, I'm sorry, if he acted in mercy withheld judgment for those who were living in active rebellion, how much more will he act in mercy withhold judgment on those who are loathing themselves for their sins?
Yeah, when you're actually sorry for their sins. Yeah, the Lord is certain to be gracious to his people when they're actually sorry for their sins. And that's where we're kind of bringing it into now Ezekiel's contemporaries, right? Sort of bringing it into the present day for Ezekiel, right? Because it's one thing to talk about the history and the sins of the fathers. That was something they had kind of struggled with before. Remember back in, was it 18, I think, chapter 18? That they thought they were being punished because of their father's sins. And he said, no, it's for your own sins. And it's the same thing here, right? The generations and generations have sinned against me. But then you get to, what, like verse 29? And he says it's called that to this day, right? In verse 31, when you present your gifts and offer up your children in the file, you defile yourselves with all your idols to this day, right? They're still doing it. They're following that same pattern for generations that they're following their father's idols, right? And they're falling in the same way. And so how is the Lord going to respond, right? We've seen chapter after chapter after chapter at this point, right? We've got almost 20 chapters of very little other than you're sinful and you deserve judgment, right? There's been a lot of that in Ezekiel so far, hasn't there? A lot of judgment, a lot of guilt, and what the people deserve. So how is the Lord going to respond to his people? According to the second part. Alice.
On the second half, he says you keep wanting to be like the nations, but I'm not going to let that happen.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Yeah, yeah. You keep trying to be like the nations around you. He said, I won't let that happen for your good, but also for my own sake, so that I will be glorified. Yeah, Richard.
Along with that, in verse 37, he says, I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you to the bottom of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to let them get away from the covenant he made with them.
Yeah.
And that's why he's doing this.
Yeah. That's right. It'll be painful, right? There's going to be a rod involved. But I will not let you go from this covenant of grace despite all of your sin. Yep. Paul did. No.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. Good. Good. Yep.
In the beginning, this seems like there's a Jews approach to it. They're kind of works oriented.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He's taking care of everything. He's always I. In fact, he says, you guys are going to continue blowing it. Despite that, I'm going to deal with you this way. So he didn't give them anything to.
Yes. Yeah, great observation. Great observation. The salvation here comes not by a list of things that now they can do to sort of make up for it. The salvation comes because God's going to act for his own namesake. Right? He said, I will act, and I will do that to make sure that you will be safe, that you'll be okay. Which then I think brings us maybe in the last minute or two here to the question, if that's how the Lord is going to respond to his people's sin, how are we going to respond to that kind of grace that the Lord shows us? I mean, we see it plain and clear here in the Old Testament, but how much more grace do we see with the coming of Christ, right? That sin doesn't just magically go away. That judgment ultimately has to be poured out on somebody, right? The price has to be paid for the debt that's incurred by sin. But instead of making us pay it, the Lord puts it on his own son, right? He pays the debt for us that we owe. All that judgment that we're earning gets poured out on Christ. How are we going to respond to that kind of grace that's shown to us? Steve, did you have something?
Yeah, I think there's a real parallel to this in 1 John.
Hmm.
I mean, John, just like the leaders of Israel were following these idols and the
Right.
But the most encouraging thing is a few verses later says, but you have an anointing from the Spirit.
That's right.
What a wonderful thing that is to say, Lord, we have your Spirit in us.
Hmm. Amen. That's right. Yeah.
And loving it and doing what it says. But he's calling us to tear down those idols and the strength that the Lord gives you and realize that you sit on grace, you rest on grace.
That's right. That's right. He even gives us the strength that we need in order to follow him and to obey him. He changes our heart and makes that possible. Not even all of our sin and the history of generations and generations of sin in our own families and in our spiritual forebears will stop God's good purposes for his people. Let's go ahead and pray. We're going to need to start transitioning to worship. But thank you all for your participation this morning. Father, we thank you that you are such a good and a gracious God, that you love your people so fiercely that you will not let us go. Even when we turn our backs on you, even when we are unfaithful to you, like a spouse who is cheating around, God, we thank you that you don't give us what we deserve, but you give us so much more grace. Lord, help us to respond to that grace that you give us, not by wanting to take advantage of it, but by loving you all the more, wanting to turn and to be faithful to you, our faithful God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.